Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Welcome to Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. I want you just to take a moment and think back to when you were really little. Did anyone ever say to you, you can grow up to be whatever you want? So I thought I was going to be a famous horseback rider. I really loved horses. And then I thought I'd be a vet. But what about dreaming really big and wanting to be a superhero? Well, my guest today, Fiona Smart, knows a lot about this. She encourages children to explore their own make-believe worlds using the best tools they have, their imagination. And with a little imagination, they can be superheroes changing the universe. Fiona is a classically trained singer and songwriter who enjoys turning her stories into songs. She's the author of the book and the official song, I Can Be a Superhero. Fiona's here to share her career journey with you. Fiona, it's great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Deirdre. Thank you for having me. It's an absolute honor to be here today. And thank you for that very lovely introduction.
Well, you're welcome. And it's certainly my pleasure. And I would just love to sort of start with how you were classically trained as a singer and a songwriter, and then you made this transition to author. So maybe just tell us a little bit about your journey to becoming a published author.
Well, basically, I've always been a creative person. And I classically trained in high school. But then I was a professional singer in New York in my 20s. And I was actually mostly singing soul and jazz, which was fun. But writing a book has always been an item, a big item on my bucket list. And when I had my first child, I was really inspired to write a book for her, about her, that she would enjoy and really be proud of. So when we moved to Sydney from the UK, when she was about 15 months old, I began to write my first book, which was hugely exciting and something I really enjoyed. So it was quite a sort of simple progression, really.
Oh, well, that's awesome. And it's so touching that you wanted to write something for her, about her, and that she would be proud of. So truly, she is an inspiration. Now, the song. So the song in the book, why does it make the book different? Or how did you kind of come up with the song? Or what was that process like?
Well, I came up with a song when I was trying to distract my daughter into eating her lunch.
Oh, I didn't expect you to say that.
It all started there. Yep. And actually, if you speak to any parent, mealtimes can be an absolute ordeal. So this was just one of my tricks. So I started singing to her about all the things that she could be. And it went from there, you know, positive, happy song. And also, you know, in a world that's so focused on technology, iPads, iPhones, computers, etc. I really wanted to create a story where the child uses her imagination. And actually the book, the whole book came from and evolved from that song, that first song.
That's really interesting. I mean, today with technology, I can even relate this back to when our kids were younger. It wasn't quite the iPads, but yeah, you could stick a game in front of them. It could be a video game on TV, or you could stick
like a Game Boy thing in my head.
Yeah. Game Boy. That is exactly what I was looking for. And it could be hours of them just being entertained. And, you know, with so much more and more technology, you use less and less imagination. So having a book that is all about imagination is really wonderful. What do you think children learn the most from your book?
That's a good question. I think children learn that they can be anything they want to be, you know, be confident, strive for anything, dream big, because anything's possible. The little girl in the book, she is exploring her own vibrant imaginary world. She's an astronaut, a hummingbird, a deep sea diver, a superhero, and so much more. So it really appeals to a wide audience. I mean, everybody wants to be a superhero. I want to be a superhero. I read it to my 5-month-old, but I also read it to my 5-year-old. She loves it. And I know a lot of 7-8-year-olds who actually read it to themselves, which is awesome. I regularly do author readings myself, and I've actually sat in front of, you know, the toughest audience imaginable, a classroom of 5-year-olds.
Oh, that's right. That is a tough audience. Oh, my goodness.
It is. It really is. You know, and the feedback's been great. And, you know, it's also great for the toddlers too, because there's hidden stars on every page of the book as well. So they all love that. And it's a bit of a confidence boost for those guys. And plus, everybody likes dancing to the song. You know, they do all the actions, and it's fun. It's fun.
So wait, did you say there's hidden stars?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Yeah. So if you go through the book on each page, you know, there'll be a star hidden underneath the pillow, and there'll be a star hidden amongst, you know, under a rock or in the sky or behind it. You know, on each page, there's a star to find. So especially the little ones, they love that aspect of the book. But it's just another aspect of the book.
Do you think that parents learn anything from the book? I mean, is it a way for the parent to bond with their child? I know that reading to our kids was always something really special. So do you think that parents get anything from the book?
I mean, I hope so. You know, reading to your child, you know, is super important. And, you know, not just my book, but, you know, any book, is a bonding experience. I mean, I read with my parents from a very, very young age, and I've done it with my 3 children as soon as they've been born. And it's just kind of seeing the enjoyment that your child gets from it. You know, that's really a lovely thing to see, you know. So I'm a huge supporter of reading. And that's, you know, I think why I've always had writing a book as something that I've, you know, a dream that, you know, I've managed to do, which is great.
Yeah, it is great. I also think it could be a way for parents to remember that, you know, sometimes we tend to say, oh, I can tell you're a little athlete, or, oh, you're going to be top of the class in math. That it's a reminder that, no, they can be anything they want to be. And it sort of encourages a parent to keep that open mind and to encourage the child to go down different directions.
Yeah. And it's also, you know, it's lighthearted. I mean, you know, she's a hummingbird. She's a kangaroo. She's a lion as well as all the other things. So it's fun. And, you know, at that age, children, it doesn't matter, you know, they don't have to be lawyers or
whatever. Sure.
Yeah, of course. But it's just fun, you know, it's playing around, and it's fun.
And that's so important. Yeah, you have to have fun, especially with a toddler. If you're talking about going to law school at age 3, I think we're all in trouble.
Yeah.
So what about the writing process? Because being classically trained as a singer and a songwriter is a completely different career when you're an author, you have to get into a different type of groove. What was that like? What did you absolutely love? And what do you think?
Yeah, so this was my first book. So everything was brand new to me. Writing the first draft was really fun because it just flowed out of me. But the editing process from that point was a little tricky. You know, we had to rewrite a little bit of it and alter it so it, you know, it made sense and it worked well. And that was probably more lengthy than I thought it would be. But then I found a fantastic illustrator, Andy Wilson, who works out of my hometown in London. And he was fantastic. He really listened to me and captured the essence of the book, you know, really brought it to life. And that was vital, you know, because I did have that specific, you know, I had that specific vision that, that I don't think, you know, just anybody could have put together for me, but he really extremely talented and we just gelled really, really well because I wanted the little girl to resemble my daughter. I wanted the room to resemble her, nursery. And I wanted, you know, aspects of the book to be like our life, which was great. But the challenge from there was getting the book out there, you know, contacting the publishers and yes. I didn't really know what I was doing because, you know, I was new to the process, but, you know, we sent the manuscript to loads of places in London, in New York, in Sydney, and eventually, an independent publishers contacted me in Brooklyn because a store had sent them my manuscript and they were interested to put it together, which was great. And you know, now it's all over the place. It's in Barnes & Noble, it's on Amazon, it's in Books A Million, it's in lots of local bookstores in New York, which is really great because I get to go along and do author readings and signings and really get involved and meet customers, which is really exciting.
That's the best part.
Yeah.
That is really exciting.
Yeah.
So did you at any time, because you wrote the book first and you did the whole editing process, and it's wonderful that you connected with your illustrator, because I do believe that the illustrations and someone capturing your vision mm-hmm. is so important, the details that yeah. you laid out. But did you consider at any point to self-publish versus going with a traditional publisher?
Well, you know, it's difficult, isn't it? When you're not a well-known author, and going to these big publishing houses, I mean, it's so competitive. So, you know, we had to kind of take a step back and sort of find something in between, you know, because if you do it completely on your own, you then have to kind of get your book into bookstores, which okay, you know, can work, but you're competing against so many other authors. So, you know, actually doing it with a publishers rather, you know, they can put your book on, you know, places like Amazon and big bookstores like Barnes and Nobles and all that sort of stuff, and help you out with the marketing and, you know, that side of it, because that's a big side of it as well, you know, actually getting a book out there in front of your audiences and things. But that whole aspect of writing the book and getting the book out there has been, as I say, really, really fun, because doing the author readings in the bookstores and meeting the little fans. And
the little fans.
I mean, it's just so lovely because, you know, that's you nice. Sit down with all these children and they're fidgeting and moving around and then you start singing the song and suddenly they stop. And
is that quite, what you do? You sing
yeah.
a song to them?
Because it sort of makes up quite a big part of the book and they're not expecting that. They're not expecting that at a story time. So it's quite fun. And then, you know, at the end, they can get up and we put it on again and they dance and, you know,
And no music. You just sing the song.
I sing the song, and then I'll play. I'll get some music out after I finish the book, and then they can dance and do all the action.
That sounds awesome. I'm so tempted to ask you to sing that song, but I won't.
You can download it on my website, though. I've got two versions, a lullaby version and one with lots of sound effects, which is
that's good. Great. That's really good. Did you, a lot of people are very, very curious about book writing. I think that everybody has a story within them. I know a lot of folks who want to get out there with their books. Did you have an agent work with you to get into the publishers, or did you do that on your own? Just so that listeners, if anyone is interested in getting your books out there.
I did it on my own, but I did go down the agent route, but that was for bigger publishing houses. And it was just, you know, at my stage, it was sort of more or less impossible, or it was just going to be a longer road than I was probably willing to, you know, go down. So, you know, maybe for my next book, I might, you know, try and go to a bigger publishing house, you know, just because I've got a bit of an audience now and people know who, you know, of me and the book, and, you know, I've got some good reviews and things like that. So, you know, that helps, I think, for, you know, subsequent books. But I did not go down the agent route. No, I did it myself and with this independent publisher. So.
Excellent. I think that's really helpful information. Now, I know you said your daughter was the inspiration behind the book, and it's about her and for her. But did anyone influence you at all? Or maybe you have a favorite writer? It doesn't have to be a children's writer, but who were your influences as far as authors?
You know what? I'm a huge fan of Julia Donaldson. I don't know if you know her stuff. She wrote The Gruffalo and many, many others. I mean, she's immensely talented, a really clever writer. And I think her book, What the Ladybird Heard, was one of my daughter's first books. And we, when we were in Sydney, we also loved an author called Oliver Jeffers, who's just a really imaginative writer. I think How to Catch a Star is probably our favorite one of his. But, you know, we have a mini library in our house for the kids, and we've got everything from The Hungry Caterpillar by Eric Carle through to Dr. Seuss, Harry Potter.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, we've got a pretty good selection because we read all the time. It's, you know, it's good for their vocabulary as well, you know, especially my toddler. It's really important, I think.
I think reading's good for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I mean, I wish there were more hours in the day that I could read, you know, adult books and stay awake and read. You know. One day.
That's that late night reading.
Yeah.
Fiona, I'm just going to ask you to hold all your thoughts for now. We're going to take a very quick break to give some love to our sponsor. When we return, Fiona will share how she manages work and family responsibilities and how she prioritizes her goals.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communication and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from awareness to action and impact by offering a digital marketing roadmap. Let us help you foster deeper engagement and forge stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformancecom.com. That's pureperformancecom with 2 M's.com.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome back to the show. Fiona Smart, the author of I Can Be a Superhero, was just discussing her book and the writing process. Okay, so Fiona, you clearly, we sort of left off saying, wow, wouldn't it be great if you could read adult books and had more time in the day. So let's pick up on that note. You are definitely managing a lot between the books. You said you get to go to different locations. You mentioned being in New York and the readings and the book signings. So how are you managing the work, the family responsibilities, and some time for yourself?
Well, you know, my favorite sweater, Deirdre, at the moment has a slogan saying, "Motherhood winging it." and that kind of says it all, really, because, you know, I've got three little ones. It's super hectic, super fun, super tiring, and challenging. But you know what? That's what it's like for everybody, I think. And I think we all wish there were more hours in the day to achieve the things that we'd love to. I'm not terribly sure how balanced it is at the moment, but yeah. Cause I'm trying really hard to complete a book right now. And it is a struggle finding that time where I can, you know, really focus without having distractions, but I'll get there.
You will. You definitely will. And I think that every mother, from the time you have little babies to even when they're grown up, we should all proudly wear that motherhood, winging it. Because yeah. There's always, no matter what, no matter how old they are, there's things going on and ways that you're wrapped into their worlds and always helping out. So, but as far as the family, the work. Now, you just mentioned that you have a new book that you're working on. Can you share a little bit about that?
Well, it's sort of top secret. I don't want to.
If you tell us, you'll have to kill us or something.
What can I say about it? Well, I'll just say this, you know, there's lots of rainbows and unicorns in it.
Oh, that's really nice. And do you have an idea of when it will be finished?
Hopefully this year.
Wonderful.
Yes.
That would be really exciting.
Definitely this year.
Now, is that writing finished this year or actually published this
Published this year. Yeah.
That's my goodness. Cool. Uh-huh. Okay. So how are you prioritizing those goals of getting this next book out?
Well, I definitely have to give myself realistic timeframes for my projects, so I don't feel, you know, overwhelmed or disappointed, you know, because it can be frustrating if I don't, you know, write a certain amount by a certain point or, you know, get that idea down. You know, I just, because the reality is, you know, the kids come first. I've got a 5-year-old, a 2-year-old, a 5-month-old. So they kind of dictate the timetable most of the time. But, you know, it helps to have a really good support system, which I do. You know, so we're just kind of trying to get there. But, yes, definitely my big goal professionally is getting that complete and published by the close of the year. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Do you leave the house to write or are you home writing?
No, I am home writing. Yeah.
Wow. So that means are they all home too?
No, 5-year-old is not.
Okay.
But the other two are. Yeah. So I can write in the baby. The baby is the only one that still naps. My 2-year-old has given up his nap.
Oh, aren't you lucky?
It's so hard.
That's hard.
So I actually have a wonderful lady who comes in for a couple of hours in the afternoon every day. So I can actually nip out, go and collect my 5-year-old from school and do a bit of writing in that time. That's the only time I have.
So that's really interesting because, you know, everybody has a different creative flow and schedule. I find out that, you know, sometimes really early in the morning is my best time to be creative after I've stretched, meditated, had my first cup of coffee and my breakfast. I'm at my creative height. Although sometimes after dinner, I get a second wind, and that could be a window of creativity. Are you finding that having to schedule around a nap or some kind of time frame, is that hard to do, or you just get used to it and say, okay, this is my creative time, and you train yourself?
I mean, absolutely. It can be extremely hard because it's sort of a pressure to create at a certain point, which is not really how – it's not natural, and it doesn't really – the process doesn't work too well like that. And often I'll say, oh, okay, I'll get round to it. You know, I'll sit down and start doing a bit of writing when the kids go to bed. And of course, by that time, my brain is just mush. It doesn't work. You know, it's really, I'm done at that point. So if I get in the shower and stuff like that, and I'm actually like clear thinking, that's like a really good time for me, like in the shower, just like taking, you know, 10 minutes and it just like all starts going, and I jump out and I'm jotting it all down, and kind of moments like that I find a little bit better than sort of my selected time. However, I am in a bit of a flow of, you know, this is, you know, my me time, and I get a bit excited about it, and I do get a cup of coffee. And so, you know, it can work well then too. Yeah. It just depends. It just depends on the day, really.
Yeah. That is definitely your me time.
Yeah.
Are you the type of personality when, if you know that you're headed toward this is overwhelming, or I'm getting, you know, frustrated, do you ask for help, or do you sort of reset yourself? So you did mention a support system, and I'm just curious, how much do you ask for help of that system?
I mean, my husband is pretty awesome because, you know, he is a massive support, and, you know, if it's all getting too much, he will just, you know, take over. Although he does have a full-time job and go to the office, but, you know, he walks through the door, and I'll just say, I, you know, I need to just have some time, and he'll just take over, which is great. I mean, because we're British, we live in York, all our family are, you know, back home in England. So I, you know, I have good friends. I have my husband, I have a little bit of help, but it's, you know, it's, I feel like if I need to re-energize, and if I'm feeling a bit lackluster, I find just bit of yoga actually, and Pilates.
That's great.
And actually I'll throw in a boot camp class if I can get there, because if I'm feeling tired, the best thing I can do is do exercise, you know.
Exercise.
Unless I'm absolutely dead on my feet, and then I'll just pack myself to bed as soon as the kids are down. But you know, to be honest, it is go, 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 and I can't really sit down and relax at any point because of the three little ones. So that alone keeps me quite energized, really, you know?
Oh, yeah. Does everybody sleep through the night so you can at least count on, okay, they're all asleep by 8:30, 9 o'clock, and if I'm not exhausted, I have a little bit of time?
Well, you know what? At 7, I'm like, all right, that's it. Everybody's down. I mean, everybody is down by 7:30 asleep, done. And so then my husband and I can have dinner, have conversations. I can do a bit of work, this and that. But then sort of 11 o'clock, I'm nursing the baby, and then he's still at sort of 3 and 6. And my toddler often gets up at least once. I gave up, you know, proper sleep a long time ago.
I'm getting hives thinking about having to be up so many times. I remember those days. Yeah, that is not easy, Fiona. But it's so worth it. I mean, having children and family is the most wonderful thing that we can be blessed with. So
yeah,
more power to you. And still to be able to have your vibrant career as an author. You know, because you had a different career before, I'm just curious, what do you feel is the biggest difference between the career as the singer and the songwriter versus your career now?
Well, when I was singing in clubs in my 20s in New York, you know, it was sort of, I was performing in the small hours of the morning. And now yes. I'm nursing my baby in the small hours of the morning. But I absolutely love to perform. I get so much from that. And that was a huge amount of fun. You know, it's just a complete lifestyle change. I mean, I've done a lot of different jobs. I worked in the event industry, you know, the high end, throwing high end parties and all that sort of stuff. And then I did a lot of, business to business sales. And before that, I was working in art galleries and auction houses because, my degree was actually in art history. So I've done quite a lot of different things. But you know what it's like, you know, when you have a small, a young family rather, and, you know, you have to put them first and everything kind of fits into that. But, you know, being a children's author is hugely rewarding, you know, seeing a child who's super excited about the book. I've had kids come up to me and sing me the song. You know, telling me their favorite parts. It's a really special thing, and I get so much out of that. So, it is different, and I do miss those days of being on stage and performing and you know, sort of mixing more with adults. You know, that's important too.
Of course.
You know, I do miss that a lot, but it's just different. But yeah, it's rewarding and it's exciting and there's a lot of joy in it.
That's really good. And in a way, you could make a parallel because so you were singing, you were on stage and performing, but now you're also singing and you're performing, right?
Yeah,
with all those little kids as you're reading, and it's suiting the lifestyle that you have. So you really you made it work.
Exactly. I've kind of tied it together a little bit, and incorporated that. I've definitely incorporated that love of, you know, music and performing. It's, you know, it's not entirely the same because, you know, I was singing, you know, lots of jazz and soul and all that good stuff. But you know, it's fun, and at least I get to do that still. So it's nice to be able to perform. Absolutely.
Do you feed your love of jazz and soul? Is that something that you'll put on music later with your husband over dinner? So you're still capturing that part of your life?
Oh, definitely. You know, we love a bit of Ella Fitzgerald and Nina Simone.
Nice.
It's awesome, isn't it?
That is awesome. Do you think that maybe someday when the children are all grown up that you would ever think about going back to being on stage and performing and that type of lifestyle, or do you think that is in the past and that has passed? That's it.
You know what? I would like to revisit it. You know, it's still a part of me that's very much alive and I love and I get a lot of pleasure from. So, you know, and you do have to, you know, focus on yourself as well. You know, do things that you love. I mean, I know there's a lot going on, but I, you know, I think it's important to stay true to oneself and not, you know, give up all those hobbies and passions that really kind of make us tick, you know?
Yeah. Where was your favorite place to perform? Did you, back in your other career, did you have a favorite place?
Yeah, I mean, I would sing in the Village Underground.
The Underground. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I sang at Birdland, which is a fabulous place off Broadway. And actually on one occasion, I was singing in front of Tony Bennett. He was in the audience, which was phenomenal because he is a living legend.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, that that was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Did you meet Tony Bennett?
Yeah. He's lovely. He's really lovely. Nice. Yeah, and full of compliments. I mean, he's a gentleman.
Oh, that's great. Awesome. So what have you learned about yourself? You know, kind of making this transition into your writing career. Does anything stand out?
Well, I've learned to be patient. You know, it's a process. I know I can't, just focus all my time on the writing. You know, not to expect too much too soon. And also, you know, whilst the book has been received well, which I'm so grateful for, and I'm so grateful for my little fans, but being, you know, independent author with, you know, backed by small publishers, it's been challenging, you know. We want to get the book in more stores and grow it out. And, you know, we are continuing to work on that. But it takes time, you know. But we'll get there, and it's really great to be able to come and speak to you about it. And you know, I just really appreciate you, Deirdre, for having me on the show. You know, to talk about it.
Oh well, thank you. I'm so happy to have you on the show, and you know, hopefully we'll all be, especially those with little ones, checking out the book, and you know. I'm also thinking that maybe social media, does that play into your marketing realm now? Is that something that you're looking at?
Yeah, absolutely. It's we've got pages on Facebook, Twitter, find us on Instagram. The website where you can purchase the book is www.fionasmartbooks.com. And actually you can, yes, as I say, you can purchase the book straight from there. You can also download, there's two versions of the song, one that's more of a lullaby and the other one which has the sound effects of all the different parts of the song. But as I said earlier, it's on Amazon, it's in Barnes & Noble and various stores in New York, around where I live as well. Annie's Blue Ribbon General Store, it's in Lullaby Baby, Tech Toys and Books in Manhattan, just to name a few for you.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe you could just give some advice as we wrap up to other people who want to pursue their passion, you know, a dream, make a big career transition. What advice would you give them?
Go for it. You know, if you've got a passion, a dream, a vision, just go for it. You know, one life, live it, is a fantastic motto that I always have in my mind. I certainly wasn't an expert, but I knew I wanted to create something for myself, for my children, something that they would always have, something that I could be proud of. I mean, someone said to me the other day, you know, this is you leaving your stamp on the world. This is your legacy.
Yeah.
I'd never thought about that before, but hey, that's pretty awesome. You know?
That is awesome. Your stamp, your legacy. Yeah. Did you just follow your heart? Was there any resistance from anyone around you, or you had total support and you just said, I'm going to go for it?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I did have total support, actually, because, you know, my family are just really wonderful like that. And my husband's extremely supportive and all my friends are just positive people, you know. And I think, you know, that's the thing. If you surround yourself with, you know, yeah, really positive, inspiring, encouraging people, then, you know, that's half the battle. You know, it is hard and it is challenging, but you can do it. Absolutely, you can do it. And don't let anyone tell you you can't.
There you go. That's great advice. So one more time, just let people know where they can find your books and more about you.
Yes. So the website to go to is www.fionasmartbooks.com. But yes, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram. and Twitter, actually. And yes, you can find us on Amazon and Barnes & Noble is probably the biggest store that people would know to go to as well. So, yeah, and we're just trying to, you know, get into as many little stores as possible as well, those independent bookstores, which we love.
That's right. Expand that distribution. Fiona, thank you so much for sharing your book and your journey. You are quite an inspiration. We really appreciate you being on the show.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure. And I also want to thank all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. Until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.